This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Championship Fan Show with Mika and Critchard between 2 and 3 o'clock. Coming up over the next hour, we'll be talking all things Leeds. People always talk about the pressure gets to Leeds, that they've been out of the Premier League for so long that it just takes them so much to get back there. Well, are we already seeing signs that they are starting to buckle under pressure? We'll also be talking about Brentford, another win against their London rivals Fulham, up to fourth in the table, but up next, a tough game against table toppers West Brom. We'll also be talking about Brentford's opponents last weekend, Fulham. After a run of four straight wins, they are now under pressure with some poor form. Three straight defeats means they've dropped down to sixth. Where is their season heading? Remember, if you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, make sure you call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. This is the Championship Fan Show here on Love Sport. So plenty to cover over the next hour. That number again, 0208 7020 558. If you want your voice heard, we want to hear from you this afternoon. Obviously, the Championship Fan Show every weekday afternoon between 2 and 3 o'clock, dedicated to all the fans of the 24 Championship clubs. And obviously, now that we've gone national, we cover every single part of the UK. So it doesn't matter whether you're a West Brom fan in the Midlands. Doesn't matter whether you're a Leeds fan up in Yorkshire. Doesn't matter if you're a Bristol City fan down in the West Country. Doesn't matter where you are across the UK. Make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. It's about you, the fans out there. So call us on 0208 7020 558. So the Championship weekend last weekend brought up so many great storylines, from Sheffield Wednesday scoring 4 in the first half at Forest, Barnsley securing just their third win of the season with a 5-3 enthralling encounter against QPR. But one of the stories of the weekend was at Elland Road. With 60 minutes on the clock, Leeds looked destined to go for another win to keep their place at the top of the table. 3-0 up, then descended into 3-3 by full-time. And I'm sure our next guest was he stunned, or is this a kind of a pattern that's happening with Leeds for a number of years? I'm delighted to say we're joined by Connor McGilligan from All Leeds TV. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Connor. So I suppose that's the first question. Did that collapse in the second half really come as a surprise, or have Leeds fans become accustomed to these types of collapses?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I don't want to get too dramatic over it. I mean, this is a side that's been sort of unbeaten in several games now. And the first 60, 65 minutes was probably the most dominant performance I've seen under Marcelo Bielsa, which obviously speaks volumes. If I'm honest with you, it was more of Bielsa's tactics towards the end of the game. For example, Bamford does a lot of defending from the front. He's very good in these situations because he helps out at the back. He substituted him for Nketiah. And then another bizarre substitution was when he brought our centre-half off, experienced vet at the back for us in Berardi, and brought a kid on for his debut in such a pressure cooker environment. And it all kind of went wrong. There was miscommunication at the back. And I think it was Bielsa's fault, really, for that little bit of a collapse. And obviously, you can blame it on the players as well. But I don't think there's a need to really go completely knee-jerk with it. I mean, we still had a fantastic performance. I mean, this is a Cardiff City side who've only come down very recently from the Premier League, and they couldn't cope with us. We were far too good. But yeah, I mean, conceding 3 in the last 20 minutes is not ideal, but listen, I think it's a bit of an anomaly, and I don't think you can sort of compare it to last season, because I think we are a completely different side.
I can assume, Connor, that in those final 10 minutes in particular, that the atmosphere at Elland Road was, well, tense to say the least. And obviously, as fans, you're going to be tense in that type of situation. It's a natural kind of human reaction. So I'm not kind of criticising Leeds fans here, but we talk about often how, in both a positive and a negative sense, the fans' mood, the fans' kind of a behaviour can then kind of influence the players. That when the crowd is absolutely buzzing, when it's bouncing, the fans feed off that energy. Likewise, though, the other way around, the players can feed off if there's negative energy within the stands. Do you think that there was possibly a bit of that, that because of the anxiety within Elland Road, that the players became very, very anxious, became very tense, and therefore it just created a situation where the confidence was being completely sapped out of Leeds and just being instilled into Cardiff.
Yeah, I think momentum's a massive thing in football. I mean, Neil Harris after the game came out and said, I mean, he's never seen his side be dominated like that since he's been in charge of Cardiff. So So I think it's a big compliment from him. But yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, when it's 3-1, you sort of, I mean, I was more gutted that they'd scored one because I don't think they deserved anything at that point. I was really gutted that we'd lost our sort of clean sheet record. But you know, when you're talking about the crowd and stuff like that. Yeah, I think naturally, you know, when it goes 3-1, 3-2 and you can see a little bit of panic on the players, then, yeah, I think the crowd naturally sort of tries to get... I mean, we're a very supportive crowd, you know, when Bamford's gone through his 8-9 game scoring, sort of not scoring goals, we've been there supporting him, you know, and Nketiah's gone through a lot and we've been supporting him, you know, and stuff like that. So we're very positive and, as I've just said, a supportive crowd. But at the end of the day, when... Yeah, I mean, it did have shades of Derby last season. It really did. And it was a complete capitulation for absolutely no reason. And naturally, I think the crowd get anxious because you can sort of see it happening. You know, you can see the players' confidence just zapped and they retreat 5 to 10 yards. And it really is. It was incredible because we were literally superb that first 60 minutes. So I don't know where it came from. I'm hoping it's just a blip. But yeah, you know, when you talk about the crowd and stuff like that, I think it's natural, isn't it? You know, when it's 3-1 and they start getting on top and he makes two substitutions that clearly... impact the side in a completely negative way. The fans sort of feed off that, and there's definitely a host of nerves in the crowd. But listen, we're a supportive bunch, and I fully expect the side to bounce back against Fulham at the weekend.
You mentioned there, Connor, about the playoff game against Derby that would have probably come as a big shot to Leeds fans. But we go back to last season, and Leeds were absolutely cruising. I'm sure perhaps you're a bit kind of fed up of hearing that about Leeds just absolutely cruising towards automatic promotion. It then fell away. And then Leeds, them falling away in the playoffs with that, in particular, that defeat to Derby at Elland Road. Does Saturday's sort of result, would it worry some fans thinking there must be some sort of mental blockade for these players that when the pressure's really on, some of those players kind of capitulate, they fold? Do you think that that's something that's coming into some Leeds fans' minds, or is that just a simple kind of question to ask after a day like Saturday, which it does happen to all sides at some point in time? You're going to have one of those afternoons where it just capitulates in a horrible way and it looks quite embarrassing for whichever fan of that club that it is on that respective weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of hark back to Aston Villa last season when they were playing Sheffield United, you know, and they were 3-0 up. They completely capitulated and lost the game 3-3. They drew the game, 3-3, and that was massive. And you know, you thought to yourself then, have Villa really got the credentials to go for promotion? And towards the end, they did. You know, it spurred them on. They sort of went on a massive run as of that game, and you saw Villa really sort of, go through the league standings. But I think with a lot of Leeds fans, there is sort of a mentality thing. Well, it's definitely a worry with me, especially. I think I do worry about the mentality sometimes because, you know, we've got, what, 9 of the same starting 11 that we had last season. So naturally, you sort of veer to that. But I think, like you just said, it's very easy to make that sort of link. But what I will say is, you know, we went 7 on the bounce last season at this sort of stage. We lost to Hull City at home, and that was the end of the run. And then we started being a little bit inconsistent, at Christmas, then towards the new year. But, you know, we've gone 7 on the bounce now, and we've drawn to a Cardiff side, recently relegated, and we really have battered them for 65 minutes. So I understand, but we're unbeaten in 11, and I think there's a lot of sort of positives to take from that. But I think naturally with Leeds, I think obviously being one of the biggest sides in the division, if not the biggest side in the division, I think a lot of people like to jump on the fact that, you know, Leeds are falling apart again. But if you watch us week in, week out, there really is a definite difference from last year. And, you know, with people like Ben White at the back and Helder Costa, who's come into his own now, he's growing week in, week out. And Eddie Nketiah, who really is a difference maker in that side. These are things that we didn't have last year. So I think, you know, maybe a couple of additions in January. And I think last year has taught us
that we can't be complacent within this league. But maybe at the weekend that was a little bit of complacency, and we maybe needed that reality check that we can't just steamroll every team. You know, we have to keep concentrated throughout that 90 minutes. It can't be a 60, 65 minute game. And listen, we don't need to win games 5 or 6 nil. We don't need to do that. You know, we can score 3 goals and we can defend. It doesn't always have to be a Leeds United monumental win. I think that is something that needs to be embedded with this squad and the mentality.
So there's still a 10-point gap between Marcelo Bielsa's side and third-placed Preston. So still a decent gap between the top two and the rest. How do you view that? Do you think this is a great position to be in? It's a nice buffer to have. It does mean that there are a few games that if Leeds don't turn up, there's still a nice gap between them. Or are you thinking that's kind of a dangerous sort of gap to have? Leeds were in a similar sort of position last season and they threw it away. So how do you view this gap at this stage of the season? We are just one game now away from exactly the halfway point in the season. Are you thinking, great, this is a massive gap that we can look to build on over the next few weeks? Or is it one that Leeds fans are perhaps entering with a bit of trepidation?
Yeah, I think it's sort of a, you naturally look at the 10-point gap and you think to yourself, that's incredible. But, you know, we did it all last season. You know, we did it all last season. We looked at that gap. And on the 26th of December, Boxing Day, we're 10 points ahead of Sheffield United, you know, and it is one of those dangerous things to look at consistently. I just like to take it game by game. Of course, it's nice, but, you know, we've got a lot of tough fixtures coming up. You know, Birmingham City away, never easy. You saw with West Brom at the weekend, they struggled down at St Andrews. Then you've got West Bromwich Albion away on New Year's Day, and you've got, obviously, our next game at Fulham away. So these are all very, very tough games in this division. Preston at home as well, coming in the near future on Boxing Day. So Leeds have got a lot of tough games coming up. And I always say feet on the ground. You know, feet on the ground, don't look too far ahead. I think that was maybe the mistake last year. We all got caught up in sort of the vibe of going up. And you know, we sort of lost track that there was sort of a number of games to go. And there are quality sides in this division who can pick you off. What I will say, though, is when you look at this side, you know, we've had West Bromwich Albion, we've had Brentford, we've played Derby, we've played Forest. We might not have got full points, maximum points in every single game, but for me, we are by far, you know, aside from West Bromwich Albion, where I think we're kind of on level terms, really, in terms of quality and dominance in this division, I would say that we are the best team alongside West Bromwich Albion in this division. And it really would be a shame for football, really, I think, if we didn't get promoted, because, you know, look at Cardiff at the weekend. They came, they were lumped, with all respect to Cardiff, they were lumping the ball in the box, long throws, you know, and they just couldn't deal with us. And I just think football-wise, we're a fantastic team to watch, and we're getting better and better every week, you know. I mean, it's not normal, you know, you go 12 clean sheets in a season at this point and, you know, scoring goals for fun. So I do think the weekend was for a blip, but I'm worried about, you know, fans getting caught up in this 10-point thing. Yeah, of course I am. But I do think we've got the quality in abundance to, if not go as champions, come in the top, you know, come in the top two. But yeah, take it game by game and definitely feet on the ground.
And just finally, Connor, just a quick couple of views on Patrick Bamford, who I know at times has received a bit of criticism, Leeds fans wanting Eddie Nketiah to start ahead of him. And even though he was only on about 5 goals a few weeks ago, he scored twice on the weekend, taking his season tally to 9 goals. Is there still that talk of Eddie Nketiah and wanting to give him more opportunities? Or is Bamford kind of justifying that starting position that he's currently getting week in, week out?
He's definitely justifying it. I mean, we spoke not long ago and I was vying for Eddie again. But I don't know. I think it is one of those where Bamford does help the side a lot more. And you can see that he puts absolutely everything in for the shirt. Obviously, he is a Leeds United player, unlike Nketiah, who is on loan and might have his eyes somewhere else, obviously, with the current Arsenal situation and potentially a new manager. There's been lots of talks about him being recalled in January as well. But Bamford is he's a defender from the front as well, which is massive in this Bielsa system. He tracks back consistently. It helps out on corners. He started scoring goals. He's added that to his game, which he needed, because we need that striker, obviously. It can't just be up to the midfielders, you know, the wingers and stuff like that. But Bamford, he's wrestling with centre-backs now, which he didn't do last season. He was very sort of meek and mild in the tackle. And now you can see him. He's physically imposing. He gets in the opposition's heads.
and he really has been a level above for Leeds this season. Listen, he's not going to get you, for me, he's still not going to get you 20, 25 goals a season, but it's all about the sum of its parts. It's about the whole machine. It's the unit working together and getting Leeds into that promised land of the Premier League. And I think it's not all about a goal-scoring Bielsa system, scoring 25, 30 goals. It's about, as I've just said, the machine working together and that getting us to the top two, because that's probably going to be more realistic this season than someone getting us 25, 30 goals. So currently, I think Bamford's doing an excellent job, and it does say, it speaks volumes at the weekend, that when he was taken off, even before the centre-back substitution at 3-0, the whole game sort of changed. The whole game changed, and that was very interesting for me to see, because you sort of understand how important he is to this Leeds United side, and let's hope that continues, and let's hope that we can utilise his strengths away at Fulham at the weekend.
Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Connor. That was Connor McGilligan from All Leeds TV, obviously discussing that almighty collapse from Leeds at the weekend. And you just wonder whether it's a sign of things to come for Leeds, as to that mental block, really, for Leeds from not just last season, but for a number of seasons. It's been probably 15 years since people have been talking about when a Leeds going to get back into the promised land of the Premier League. And every year that you don't manage it or manage to achieve promotion, it just plays on your mind even more. It just makes it that bit more difficult every single year. And Leeds last season, there was no way that they shouldn't have got promoted into the Premier League. And they're in a position now where we're just about coming up to the halfway stage of the season. They're 10 points clear of third, but I think a lot of people are looking at it and thinking, well, if it were any other side, I think people would be thinking West Brom are pretty much as safe as you can be in an automatic promotion spot. But with Leeds, you're just anticipating some sort of a collapse at some point. So I don't think anyone is presuming anything quite yet. But it was certainly a pretty dramatic collapse from Leeds. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. Later in the hour, we're going to be talking about Fulham, a side that have dropped out of form after winning four straight games. But up next, we're going to be talking about the side that beat them on the weekend at Griffin Park, and that is Brentford.
Love Sport.
Welcome back to the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. Share your views on your Championship club. Obviously, we're here every weekday afternoon between 2 and 3 here on the Championship Fan Show to talk all things second division in English football. So make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. Well, for Brentford, it's been a pretty good start to the season. They're currently fourth place, just 1 point off third after a 1-0 home win against Fulham on the weekend. To talk all things Brentford, I'm delighted to say we're joined by Mick Cabell, commentator for I Follow Brentford. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Mick. Always good to chat to you. Obviously, a big, big game for both sides in the derby on the weekend. Brentford have a pretty good record now, lost just one of the past nine meetings, a 1-0 home win against Fulham. Obviously, moving up to fourth is pretty good, but also beating your London rivals must be a pretty good feeling.
Oh, very sweet feeling. Saturday and Sunday was a very good weekend, Kieran. Just wasn't the actual result of beating Fulham. It was the manner of the victory. It was as comprehensive 1-0 as many people could have witnessed. And I think Brentford hitting the woodwork three times and just generally outrunning Fulham. Fulham, no doubt about it, are a very, very good side and will probably be in the top six. So for Brentford to make a statement like that, it really kind of underlined what's been happening over the last 6 to 8 weeks, that Brentford have got some very good promotion credentials.
So the goal obviously came through Brian Mbeumo, who netted for the fourth game in a row. Just talk to me, because obviously he signed from Troyes for £5 million in the summer, as a relative unknown for a lot of football lovers, still only 20 years old. What have you made of him this season? What sort of an impact, what changes have you seen at Brentford with his introduction into the side?
It's interesting, Kieran, because we've discussed before, Sergi Canos having an injury as actually a aided Bramo's progress in that he did struggle to adapt. He started off very well, had a good kind of game against Leeds United early in August, but then around the end of August, early September, going into the first international break, he just kind of lost himself in the team. And then Sergi Canos was injured the first week of October, and Brian Mbeumo has been playing ever since then on the right wing. So he knows he's starting, and with that, confidence comes into a player. He's adapted to his surroundings. He's come from the French League to the Championship. We all know how brutal that is. And with that, he's adapted to our style of play, and the quick pace that he has just given us another advantage. You put that together with Benrahma and Watkins, and you have quite a striking trio.
Looking at Brentford's recent form, Mick, it was, I remember looking going into the game and we were previewing them on Friday, you look at the last five games, it had been win-loss, win-loss, win, and you're wondering, can Brentford kind of break the trend of the Championship for most clubs this season and look to put a few wins together? They've now got back-to-back wins. Are you looking at it and thinking, this is now the opportunity? It may just be one of those situations in this season where, just as you think Brentford are going to get some momentum, it might be stunted by a poor performance this coming weekend. But are you looking at it and thinking, actually, we've got back-to-back wins now in a really good position. There's not say a massive amount of pressure. There's a pressure every time you go out there every weekend, but an opportunity for Brentford to go on a little bit of a run now.
Definitely. I think Saturday's game is going to be a Christmas cracker. They're playing away at the Hawthorns. I think that West Brom with Leeds have been far away the two best sides, but West Brom have only lost one game all season. Now, they're either going to carry that all on and just run away with the Championship, but the Championship isn't like that. We saw that with Leeds United last year. At some point, there's injuries, illness, and just a lack of form sometimes. And I think for Brentford to make a statement, if they go to the Hawthorns and make a positive result this weekend, people will really start to take notice. It's one of them ones where the bigger the game, I think that there's a momentum building with Brentford. And we've been discussing this, Kieran, on your show the last 6 to 8 weeks of saying, is this a false dawn? Are Brentford going to go and lose one? What they are doing is they're always bouncing back. So they lost at Sheffield Wednesday in a very tight game. Played Sheffield Wednesday off the park in the first half. Sheffield Wednesday, who are very good at the moment, like Brentford, had a very good second half. Got a penalty, got the momentum, got the points. However, they beat a very good Cardiff side, who took Leeds, took a draw at Elland Road on Saturday, and took down Fulham at ease on Saturday. So the last few results, you're beginning to see a bit of progress. We're not talking about beating the teams in the bottom six. We're talking about getting points out of the people in the top six. So I think Saturday at West Brom will be a really good test of Brentford's promotion credentials. I think that they get a positive result there. Not only will the Championship take notice, but I think most of the football public will take notice.
I was going to ask you, Mick, about the current status of the top two and then the rest chasing the top six spots. At this moment in time, there is a significant gap. West Brom are 12 points ahead of third place. Preston leads 10 points. Are you looking at it and thinking, actually, that isn't an unassailable lead, that we're only halfway through the season and actually there is a chance for not just Brentford but a few other sides in there to really push for those automatic promotion spots? Or are you thinking, in reality, it's going to take an almighty collapse from either one or both of those sides?
No, I think you saw it with Leeds last year, Kieran. Leeds were far and away the best team for the first 6 months of the season. The last 3 months of the season, they weren't. Tiredness in that Bielsa side, they're so fit, they just kind of ran out of gas at the end. Now, that's not to say West Brom or Leeds will do that this season, but, you know, with the game that we've got against West Brom on Saturday, they've then got to come to Griffin Park. You win them two games, that's 6 points back on West Brom. And that's the sort of kind of ideology you have in the Championship. If you do coast or you do go into a run of drawn games, it's interesting the point you make, Kieran. Where Brentford have done so well is they pick up the wins. So we were talking about Nottingham Forest on Friday. They played their last two games and got two draws and then a defeat. So they picked up 2 points out of nine. Brentford have picked six up at nine with a defeat at Sheffield Wednesday. And that's the key to the Championship. If you're going to lose one, if you can back it up with two wins, you get 6 points out of nine. Now, Nottingham Forest are a very good side in around the top six, but they just lost that to fall out the top six by just not winning games. So Brentford have a very good knack. They've won 11 games this season already, and that's as good as getting up with the front two. So it's a very interesting. I don't think that Leeds and West Brom are far and away uncatchable, but there's no denying over the first 23 games of the season, they've been the two best sides.
And as you've mentioned, that big game on the weekend, it's at the Hawthorns. West Brom will host Brentford. Do you think that that's the type of game you mentioned there, that if Brentford can get wins in the fixtures against West Brom, it just throws it wide open? Do you think we're going to learn a lot about, I suppose, not just Brentford, but about all of those sides in and around the playoff positions, that realistically, if sides like Brentford are going to push for the top two spots, these are the types of games where you need to pick up something for, and if not, it may be a sign that the likes of West Brom are going to be too strong and are going to dominate those positions in the automatic promotion spots.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment, Kieran. I think that what you do against your top six sides is, first of all, you don't lose. That's what Fulham didn't want to do on Saturday. They just came to Brentford and say, well, if we can get a point, then you're stopping Brentford gaining on us. They didn't, and if you lose against a side in the top six in a top six clash, it's like the proverbial six-pointer. They gain on you. And I imagine that West Brom, I think Brentford will be going there to win. That's the key to this team. I think what we've seen is that they're beginning to develop. They're harder to break down, with Pontus Janssen at the back looking very, very good recently, with Dalsgaard from Denmark as well. So we've got two international defenders at the back. Reyes playing well in goal. And with the midfield contributing, De Silva and Norgaard, and we have Janssen beginning to find form. Everybody's talking about the front three, Benrahma, Watkins and Mbeumo. But the good thing about this Brentford side is it's tight at the back and the middle is performing. Once you've got the whole spine of the team performing, then you've got a top six side on your hands. And Brentford are not only looking at top six, but they haven't given up on top two by any stretch of the imagination.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Mick. That was Mick Cabell, commentator for I Follow Brentford, talking about a good win and a big win for Brentford fans at home against Fulham on the weekend. Brentford have a very good recent record against the Cottagers, with just one loss in the past nine meetings between the two sides. And they're up to fourth in the table, just 1 point off third position. Still 11 points off Leeds in second. We're going to learn a lot about Brentford, and we're going to learn a lot about West Brom on Saturday, when at the Hawthorns it'll be West Brom against Brentford. Which side can the playoff chasing sides really push for automatic promotion, or is it a case of those sides just pushing for a top six position? So a good game just before Christmas there at the Hawthorns. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. We talked about Brentford there beating Fulham. We're going to get the Fulham perspective next.
This is Love Sport.
Welcome back to the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. We were talking about Brentford beating Fulham. Let's get the Fulham perspective now. I'm delighted to say that Love Sport's very own and part of the Fulhamish podcast, Dom Betts, joins us this afternoon. Thank you very much for joining me in the studio, Dom. We spoke a few weeks ago about this crucial run for Fulham against sides in and around them in the table. When it started well with that win, I remember, just at the end of November against Swansea, but then Bristol City 2-1 defeat, Preston 2-1 defeat, 1-0 against Brentford. What do you think these last three games have told us about Fulham?
I think it shows that we were probably flattering to deceive in those four back-to-back wins we got against Birmingham, Derby, Swansea and someone else, I think. But yeah, it shows we're probably flattering to deceive, because if you're looking at our season so far, and everyone talks about, you know, the squad we have, you know, the likes of Knockhart, Caviero, Mitrovic, Kearney, Mawson, etc. Like, we've only probably looked like how good we can be in maybe two games. I want to say the Millwall home game. Yeah. And then you could say Reading away, but obviously they're 10 men after like half an hour.
Yeah.
And then maybe Derby at home and beat them 3-0. That is the only times when we look convincing. You know, the 1-0 win at Birmingham wasn't convincing. We, you know, when we went 2-0 up against Swansea going into half time, I don't know how we were 2-0 up, because they probably, if anything, they were the team who deserved to be in the lead. So you can argue maybe that results were sort of going over performances, and, you know, results are important. But yeah, now it's sort of seeing like we're seeing that we're not quite top two, we probably are top six, and that was always what we're going to try and work out this season, because we know we're good enough to finish in the top six. I think that's fairly simple, but it was where we could challenge Leeds and West Brom, albeit we're playing Leeds this weekend, so we have a true test then. And, you know, we are playing Leeds twice and we are playing West Brom obviously another time, so there is 9 points we can claw back on the top two. But yeah, it is worrying, just because how outplayed we've been, especially in that Brentford game. I mean, the Preston game was more a fact that it would probably, a draw would have been a fair result, because neither team deserved to win because they were both so bad.
I was just asking Mick Cabell, who we had on, talking about Brentford just a few minutes ago, and I asked him whether, obviously, they've got a big game. It's going to be a really good indication. Fulham's game against Leeds, Brentford are away at West Brom. I was asking him whether automatic promotion is viable for sides like Brentford. Is that gap, can it be achieved for those sides chasing? I mean, we've seen Leeds collapse before. We saw it just last season. When you look at the top two at the moment and then bring it down to the likes of Brentford, Fulham, Preston, are you looking at it and thinking we're pretty bang on at the halfway stage of the season? Are you thinking, actually, especially with Leeds, this is far from done, an automatic promotion, there is still potentially maybe one spot available? Or are you thinking, if the next few weeks, and in particular this weekend, goes in favour of those top two, are you thinking, realistically, for Fulham, Brentford, Preston, it's top six that you're going for, not top two?
We can always rely on Leeds to mess up their own season. So it's like, with Leeds, just going by history, you still look at it as when there's only one place. But West Brom, I think, have got top two sorted. They've only lost one game all season. And, you know, Charlie Austin is finally finding the back of the net, which isn't good for the rest of the league, because that was the biggest problem with them, is obviously Charlie Austin wasn't finding the back of the net, and now he's doing that. You know, it's going to be very, very tough. I think they're fine. It's just Leeds history. Like, I remember back when Fulham lost in the playoff semi-finals to Reading that year, I think we got a last-minute equaliser against Leeds at home, and they were 9 or 10 points ahead of us in, like, March time, and we ended up finishing 4 points above them. So they have got history for doing this. That's the only thing that you can sort of claw back to, but I haven't seen enough from Fulham. We've seen glimpses of it, but we haven't seen anything consistency-wise that would make me believe that we could, you know, get into the top two. But who knows, you know, Muggle Hector's coming in January. He should be able to a bit improve that defence, so... Yeah, I think it's... We just don't seem to be getting the best out of our players, really. Because bar Mitrovic, who's really impressed. Kearney hasn't been that good. Knockhart's been terrible. Caviero's been okay. You know, I think he's probably scored what, over 50% of our goals this season. So, I think that it's... If Mitrovic doesn't score, we don't look like scoring. I think that showed it on Saturday when Pontus Jansen pretty much had him in his back pocket. And we didn't look like threatening at all. I think we hit the post or hit the bar in like the 12th minute of the game. Apart from that, nothing. Like, who scored? Who wants to do their statistical analysis? Had Alfie Mawson in their team of the week. I was like, why? And then I think in the EFL team of the week, you had Brentford's goalkeeper. I was like, he didn't do anything. He didn't have to do anything. So the performance on the last two or three performances, you know, Bristol, terrible in the first half, but we did look better in the second half. Preston, we just didn't look at it. Same with Brentford. So we're very interested to see what happens against Leeds this weekend, knowing us, we'll probably somehow beat them, and then we'll end up losing to Luton on Boxing Day.
When we look back at Fulham's summer transfer business, and I remember we spoke kind of in August, September time about it, and there was quite a lot of excitement. You look at quite a few players actually coming into the side. So Michael Hector, as you mentioned, is coming in January. Fulham couldn't quite get it over the line. It was to do with the Sessegnon deal being very late in the day, which meant that Fulham couldn't get that deal over the line. But you look at the other players that have come in, you've got quite a few players on loan. So you've got Anthony Knockhart on loan from Brighton, Ivan Caballero from Wolves, Harry Arter from Bournemouth, Bobby Reid's come on loan from Cardiff, Harrison Reid on loan from Southampton, Josh Onoma came in part of that Sessegnon deal with Spurs. When you look at all those signings that have been made, so Knockhart, Reid, Caballero, Arter, Reid, Onoma, how many of those do you look at and think they've made a significant contribution this season, and how many of those have been a real disappointment so far?
I think the only ones you can argue have been effective is Harrison Reid and maybe Bobby Reid. But Harrison Reid, 100%. Since he got, it's not a coincidence that since Harrison Reid got injured, we've looked a lot worse. I don't think that's a simple coincidence. I think he was so critical in our team just because he occupies that holding midfield role. Johansson's done well there, and I think Johansson's probably been one of our better players this season, but Harrison Reid, when you can have Johansson further forward with Kearney, or then have Bobby Reid and Kearney in the midfield, though. So I think that, yeah, the loss of Harrison Reid has really showed this. And I think that's when you know how important a player is when they're not there. Yeah. And then you see how different your team plays. And, like, just think about Barcelona whenever Messi's out. It's just a totally different side. And I'm not saying Harrison Reid's anything compared to Messi, but I'm saying if you take out the key cog in a team, they aren't there. And I think that's the... And it's a very important position, at number six role, because, you know, it links our leaky defence to our pretty good midfield. And I think, yeah, without Harrison Reid, so I think he's the one who's made the most impact. Knockhart, for me, has been the worst out of all the signings, I'd argue. You know, he's scored a cross, and he's scored one other goal. And, you know, you're expecting a bit more from him. And he's one of the most frustrating players, I think, because you know the talent's there, but he just hasn't shown it at all this season.
obviously, we were talking actually about Aston Villa in the Premier League fan show and talking about the £127 million I think they spent over the summer. Now, you as a Fulham fan know what it's like to spend over £100 million 18 months ago in the Premier League and got relegated having spent that money. When you look at Villa, do you think where they are at the moment, they're just above the relegation zone on goal difference, do you think they've fallen into the same trap that Fulham did, thinking just spending money is a guarantee of staying up and you wonder how far you can get? Or do you think Villa's spending was different to Fulham's spending?
I think it was fairly similar, albeit a lot of the money, half the money or a third of the money I spent was securing players I had on loan last season, yeah, which is a problem that Fulham found. And I think with Villa, they're definitely better than we had last season, but the only way I can see them staying up is by being the fourth worst team in the league. I don't think the actual ability of the team is going to keep them up. The biggest problem is Wesley. If you're going to stay up, you need that striker who's going to get you 15, 20 goals. You're 15 at least. You just need that striker. They don't have it. I think they're often relying on the likes of McGinn and Grealish to sort of drag them through games, and I think that's the biggest problem. They don't seem to me like a cohesive unit. They seem fairly poor, and I wouldn't be surprised if they go down. I mean, and I think it's basically showing you there that don't spend 100 million. There's two case studies there, and then like you're having a totally different team. Like, you know, yes, they got Wesley, who was expensive. You know, we signed lots of Seri and Anguissa, albeit Anguissa sort of came into his own towards the end of the season when Scott Parker came in. But I think it shows that you need to build from the base of the team that got you up, as opposed to trying to build a new team which is supposedly Premier League quality. You know, our two players who came in, you can argue, say, as well, was maybe Callum Chambers, and then when Ryan Babel came in January. Like, I wouldn't be surprised when Ryan Babel came in January, they probably, apart from Mitrovic, probably would have won our player of the season.
Do you think, then, you mentioned there about Wesley perhaps being a weakness for Villa, do you think if they have Mitrovic, do you think they'd stay up?
Yeah, I think they would. I think Mitrovic was the only reason we had any chance of staying up last season. And I think, you know, I'm not saying he's going to go anywhere, because I don't think he will. I think, and I can't see a team forking out £40 million or £35 million to sign him. But I think that's their biggest problem. They just don't have that focal point up front. If you look at Villa, when you're looking at where the goals come from, you're not looking at Wesley, are you? You're looking at Jack Grealish. You're looking at Anwar El Ghazi. You're looking at John McGinn. And I think that's their biggest problem. There doesn't seem to be too many goals in that side.
One of the noticeable problems for Fulham last season was the chopping and changing in goal. You didn't know whether it was going to be Sergio Rico, whether it was going to be Fabbri, whether it was going to be Marcus Bettinelli. At the moment, it seems that Marek Rodak has sealed or kind of maybe solved a bit of a problem. Where do you see Fulham's long-term goalkeeper? Do you think that Rodak has the potential to be the man that Fulham rely on now going forward? Or are there still concerns that he may have a couple of good games, but in a couple of bad games' time, there might be that debate raging on and coming, rearing its head again, saying, well, maybe there needs to be a change in goal?
The Fulham goalkeeping conundrum is always an interesting one, because we haven't had a settled goalkeeper since Mark Schwarzer left. And that was, what, probably 7 years ago, 6 years ago now. Like, we've had Stecklenburg and Stockdale are going over the number one jersey. We've had the Bettinelli, we've had Lonergan, we've had Joe Lewis, we've had Gabor Kirali, we've had David Button, we've had Rico, Fabbri, as you say, Rodak now. We haven't had it. And for me, going by what I've seen this season, Rodak has looked a better goalkeeper. I wasn't an advocate for dropping Bettinelli in the first place, because on paper, I looked at both goalkeepers and saw them about level. So I was like, I don't see the point in dropping one for the other. But then you can also base it on the other argument. If he's not playing well, you're bringing a goalkeeper of as good quality. He's shown the last two scenes at Rotherham. He's a very good goalkeeper. He's short-stopping-wise, he's been great. And he hasn't made really any mistakes yet. You can look at the Preston first goal, where obviously the ball gets smashed through his legs. But, you know, that was just terrible defending. And nothing compared to usual Fulham there. But yeah, I think he has secured the number one jersey. You know, I'll be very surprised if he isn't number one for the rest of the season.
And just finally, you mentioned it earlier, there are two seemingly for me massive games on the weekend. We talked about Brentford's trip to West Brom on the weekend, also on Saturday, Fulham at home against Leeds. Do you think we are going to get the real picture of where we're at with the top two, top six? Because Fulham are sixth, Brentford are fourth, just 1 point separating them. Leeds, West Brom, 2 points separating the top two. That realistically, if Fulham don't beat Leeds and if Brentford don't beat West Brom, Are you thinking realistically it's going to be Preston, Brentford, Sheffield Wednesday, Fulham, Bristol City and maybe a few others fighting it out for top six, and that top two is only going to potentially increase the gap?
Yeah, if we lose to Leeds, I think it's done. But I still think we're the only team who can catch them. I think we're the only team with the quality within the squad to do it. Brentford are a very good side, and probably their performance at the weekend against us, they always seem to do it every single year. But I still see them as top six, and if they don't get a result against West Brom and we don't get a result against Leeds, it's going to look quite hard for any team to get involved there, because it'll be, 13 points or something. And I think that, yes, we know Leeds can mess it up, but not that badly.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. Leeds can do anything. Thank you very much for joining me in the studio, Dom. That was Dom Betts, Love Sport's very own, and obviously part of the Fulhamish podcast, and obviously talking about Leeds. You can always rely upon Leeds to muck it up at some point, but it does feel like two really quite crucial fixtures at Craven Cottage on Saturday afternoon between Fulham and Leeds, and also on Saturday afternoon, West Brom against Brentford at the Hawthorns. We will really learn. I think if West Brom and Leeds win, I don't think you can ever say with any certainty, with a 100% certainty, that those sides are just going to run away with it. But there's going to be such a significant gap that it is going to be incredibly difficult, even with a collapse in form for both sides. It's going to be difficult. And also, remember, West Brom, that's just one game all season in 22. Are they going to lose 6 or 7 in the next 24? Seems unlikely, but we've seen the Championship Leeds last season, that it can very much happen. But two really interesting games there. Brentford against West Brom at the Hawthorns, and Fulham take on Leeds at Craven Cottage. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. We'll be back after this. Love Sport. Welcome back to the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us, call us on 0208 7020 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. We've been talking about things near the top of the table in the race for the top two, top six spots. Down near the bottom, Barnsley are still bottom, but after that enthralling victory over QPR, it does mean they're only 4 points from safety. Wigan a second bottom on 18, Stoke also on 18 points. Just outside the relegation zone, you've got Luton on 20 points, Middlesbrough on 21, Huddersfield on 22. So it is still very, very tight round there. A lot of those clubs have changed manager. Barnsley have gone from Daniel Stendel to Gerhard Struber. Stoke have gone from Nathan Jones to Michael O'Neill. Huddersfield have gone, obviously, from Jan Sievert to Danny Cowley. Reading from Jose Gomes to Mark Bowen. But there are still a number of clubs that have stayed with the managers. Wigan, Luton, Middlesbrough. So some clubs are deciding, even despite their situation, they're sticking with their manager. And it'll be very interesting by the time we get into January whether they make the decision to make a change. Middlesbrough, for example, Jonathan Woodgate has categorically admitted they need signings, they need reinforcements in January. It does seem, I think probably if they were going to lose patience, they'd have probably done so already. But it's very interesting whether Middlesbrough pull the plug on Jonathan Woodgate, whether Luton pull the plug on Graham Jones. A number of clubs down there have made that decision already and have done so kind of a decent bit of time ago now. We are getting towards the middle of December now. Are some of those clubs kind of around that area, are they going to decide to make that change over the next couple of weeks if results don't start picking up? It certainly is very, very interesting down near the bottom of the table. If you're looking at it and you're thinking, who are your three favourites? I think it is difficult. I don't think Stoke will get relegated. I think Michael O'Neill going in is a good, solid appointment. And I think with the squad, I know that with a lot of teams, it's a silly comment to say they are too good to go down, but I think Stoke will be all right. I think Middlesbrough will find a way out of it. I just can't see. So at the moment, I think I probably would say Barnsley, Wigan, Luton. I think that seems like the most likely trio. Obviously, that'd mean that Charlton would be the only one of the promoted sides not to get relegated. But I think at the moment, Barnsley, Wigan, Luton seems like the most likely trio. But it is still very, very early on in the season. Talking of Luton, some very interesting comments from the Luton Town Chief Executive, Gary Sweet. We brought you the news that last week, I think it was, about the potential introduction of a salary cap into the English Football League to control spending, to make it a sustainable organisation rather than letting spending get out of hand. And he said that they cannot financially compete Luton in the Championship. Madhouse is what he describes it as. And wants a salary cap enforced in the division. These are some of the comments from him. We've got a situation where the rules say you're allowed to lose £39 million over 3 years. So your starting point is, if you lose only £13 million in 1 year, you've done well. You get a pat on the back. That's not our belief. That's not where we've come from. I'm grounded in business school that says you've got to make a profit or at least break even. We are not in a position where we can lose £13 million a year. And I think he's got a really good point there, because it's about the sustainability of these clubs. That Luton fans don't want a situation where in 10 years' time they've been spending so much money to sustain themselves in the Championship that potentially they might fall out of the English Football League and might go into liquidation. So I think there needs to be serious conversations, because that is ridiculous about the rules saying that you're allowed to lose £39 million over a period of 3 years. That isn't sustainable, and these clubs won't be able to keep up with it. So it's something that I think is going to be seriously considered and needs to be kind of asked as to whether that is seriously something they look at, the salary cap, in order to prevent kind of overspending and losing a lot of money.
This is Love Sport.